USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
He did something I tried to do and was unsuccessful in accomplishing. He won the general election.
That's Mitt Romney as he leaves dinner in New York City with President-elect Donald Trump and Trump's planned chief of staff, Reince Priebus, last evening.
The people he selected as members of his cabinet are solid, effective, capable people.
Of course, Romney is himself one of those people reportedly being considered for Secretary of State. Earlier, Trump announced he's nominating Elaine Chao for Transportation Secretary. Also last night in New York, some burned American flags outside Trump Tower after Trump tweeted earlier that flag burners should face legal consequences. ISIS now says it's responsible for the attack at Ohio State University Monday, the terrorist group saying the attacker Abdul Ali Artan was one of their soldiers. This is USA Radio News.
Attention all men. Did you know that bladder control problems are very common? If you or a loved one is suffering from male incontinence, please listen to this important message from Men's Liberty, because bladder control problems do not have to stop you from living an active life any longer. Best of all, you can get Men's Liberty for free. Just call 800-280-1335 now.
Using Men's Liberty, we can go places and I don't feel a sense of anxiety.
Men's Liberty has made both mine and my husband's life easier.
As a urological surgeon, I highly recommend Men's Liberty. It's simply the best option available, and I've seen how it changes lives.
You can get Men's Liberty for free. Men's Liberty is covered by Medicare and supplemental insurance. Say goodbye to painful catheters, expensive diapers, and embarrassing accidents, odor, or infections. Call 800-280-1335 today. The call is free and confidential. Call 800-280-1335. Call 800-280-1335. 800-280-1335.
Southern states are feeling great pain from the elements. The latest is that three people died overnight when a tornado ripped through northern Alabama. It happened shortly after midnight. Besides those fatalities, there were a lot of people injured as well.
This is the largest fire in the last 100 years of the state of Tennessee.
And that's Tennessee's Governor Bill Haslam referring to the huge fire in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge in his state.
This is a special place in the state of Tennessee. Millions of families have come here and will continue to come here.
At least three people have died in those fires in the Great Smoky Mountains. Investigators are looking to determine what sparked a pipeline explosion just north of Kansas City's airport last night. Firefighters say no one was hurt in the blast, but that it ripped apart a pipeline that carries ethane as well as propane. Kansas City airport managers say that fire and blast did not impact airport operations. This is USA Radio News.
There are three foods that may be killing you. These three commonly consumed foods are actually banned in many other countries and yet readily available in the United States and frequently consumed here. The big food distributors have spent hundreds of millions of dollars to try and keep this information a secret. Learn what these foods are and what they are doing to you by going to killerfood35.com. That's killerfood35.com.
New Jersey's governor, Republican Chris Christie, has to do some explaining after he catches reporters off guard yesterday, announcing news of what turns out to be a massive renovation project. Here's Sarah Lee Kessler to explain.
It was Christie's first news conference since the Bridgegate convictions and Donald Trump's election. No questions allowed, so reporters expected the former Trump transition chief to make a big announcement about his future. Instead, they were told,
windows are literally falling out of this building.
Christie announcing a $300 million initiative to renovate the State House, the first major upgrade in 60 years. And he said he's staying put.
If I were announcing I was leaving to go to the Trump administration, would I really do it in the rotunda of the State House by myself without the person who would be actually giving me the job?
Sarah Lee Kessler, New Jersey.
And in Arizona, the Maricopa County Sheriff, called the toughest sheriff in America, Joe Arpaio, addresses rumors he's planning to join the Trump administration.
Joe Arpaio's run as the county's top cop comes to an end in January. The 84-year-old remains tight-lipped about his future plans and whether those plans include working under President-elect Donald Trump.
If the President of the United States calls, I have to serve my country.
Arpaio says he will not be talking about any conversations he's had with the future president, or even if he's had any. In Phoenix, Sandra Harrows.
Powered by WesternJournalism.com for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
And good morning, and welcome to a new edition of Modern Design. Today we're going to be doing a show that's all about Christmas. I have live in studio Jane DeHaven, who's a Christmas enthusiast and a great crafter. She's going to come up with a lot of wonderful ideas today about how you can make your house transition from Thanksgiving, you know, today is the last day of November, to tomorrow, make it a Christmas wonderland and have a wonderful holiday season. Well, before we do that, let's go take a look at today's weather and see what's going on in the world. Okay, I think we're going to have a wet day today. I think that's what they said this morning when I got up. And let's try it again. One second here. The National Weather Forecast is telling me that it's currently a fog mist condition at 53 degrees. There's a dense, oh, I've never seen this in the 2 years I've been here. There's an advisory. There's a dense advisory until 11 a.m. of fog in the air, so be very careful when you drive. Today, there's a 100% chance of heavy rain and dense fog with a high of 58. Tonight, there's a 100% chance of rain. Heavy rain with a low of 51. On Thursday tomorrow, it's going to be a beautiful sunny day with a high of 56. On Thursday night, mostly clear with a low of 33. On Friday, a beautiful sunny day again with a high of 48. On Friday night, partly cloudy with a low of 33. On Saturday, another wonderful day. It's a great day to get your outside stuff done the next 3 days, people, with a high of 48. And on Saturday night, it will be partly cloudy with a low of 31 degrees. Well, my name is Richard Scudero, and our program, as every Wednesday live, is called Modern Design. In studio today, I have a good friend of mine, a relative, and somebody who I respect very much in her decorating of her projects and so on. Her name is Jane DeHaven. Good morning, Jane.
Rich.
Okay. So today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Christmas crafting and wonderful ideas. And Jane and I met on Sunday. We talked a little bit about what we're going to talk about. And then she sent me sort of an outline of some of the things she wanted to discuss. So I'm going to start with get right into it and start with the first category. And that is outside, doing the outside of your house. It's sort of apropos because the weather's going to be nice the next couple of days. It's going to be warm. It's going to be clear. And it's a great time. So let me ask you where you are in your own house with your outside. What have you done so far?
Nothing so far. Well, I shouldn't say that. We go from our summer outside planter to Thanksgiving before mm-hmm. we go to Christmas. So the first step in that was getting our ornamental cabbage out, and that's there now. We sometimes go with a pink or purple to coordinate with our shutters. Other years, depending on, you know, the nursery stock and what just really looks great, we'll go with a green and white theme. So this year we're all burgundy and ready to start putting in the greens. We usually do, you know, mixed greens, blue spruce, Fraser fir, Douglas fir, whatever looks great when we go over to our.
So let me go back to the kale and cabbage, because they use the terms kale and cabbage interchangeably, but I've noticed that these plants look a little bit different. I would assume that kale is the more rounded looking one, cabbage is the more rounded looking one, and the kale has that sort of rougher edge. Is that how
exactly.
it is?
Exactly. The cabbage is smooth,
okay.
and you get the curly edges with the kale.
Right, right. So they're both different, and they have visual interest. I kind of like, personally, I don't like to mix the purple or with the white. If I do the white, I'd like to do all white.
Exactly. That's what we always do. It's three of the same variety.
Yeah. Or even, I wouldn't mind probably taking the cabbage and the kale, if they're the same color, to have some visual interest in grouping them together. Because to me, ornamental cabbage looks like roses.
Yes.
Doesn't
mm-hmm.
it? So when you group roses together, like in an arrangement, a lot of times if somebody gives me, if I'm fortunate enough to get roses from somebody and they have baby's breath and ferns, I take the baby's breath and the ferns out right away. I find a glass container that's low, and I make all the flowers the same size, so you just see the heads. So then, and that week that it opens, you have this beautiful bouquet of flowers, and you really see the roses and not the filler. So I feel that same way about ornamental cabbages and kale. If you cluster them together of the same type, I think you get a more of a visual effect. You know, when I was driving into studio this morning, I was a little bit early today, which is not like me. I usually go say, good morning, welcome to Modern Design, because I'm running into studio. But I was early today, and I happened to notice that I'm doing a lot of commercial projects, as we talked about, Jane, before studio, before we get into studio today. And I'm doing a lot of pots. And a couple of weeks ago, we had the people on from the garden center. I can't think of the name
the
right
garden
now.
Gate. Garden Gate. Garden Gate. Garden Center.
Yeah, and Sandy was very lovely. And she told us when you're doing your pots, whatever time of year is, you have three parts. You have the thriller, the filler, and the spiller. So you want top, middle, and bottom. So I've been doing a lot of pots that have height to them. And I've been using a couple of things that I think are really nice to go along with putting the cabbages or the kales in the middle. So some of the things I've been using are painted branches, white painted branches, which always look nice. And white is a very popular Christmas color this year. But also I've been using red sticks. I don't know if you've seen the red painted sticks. They're kind of pretty because – I shouldn't say sticks. I mean branches because the branches are much more visually interesting. When you paint sticks a red, it almost looks like coral, like red coral. It's very pretty and very interesting. Then I will either put greens underneath that and then something that spills out, or I will put the cabbages or kale in between. But you do want to have some of that height. But there's something out there. I don't know if you've ever heard of it before. I wound up having it in my yard, and I found it very accidentally. I couldn't find my white sticks. I was looking all over the basement for my white sticks because you can use them from year to year. When you buy them once and you have them forever, even though they were natural and live. And I looked out my window, and I noticed by my pool there was this plant that was, I guess, indigenous. And all of a sudden, the stems of the plant turned the most beautiful shade of like the color of your sweater, of like a crimson red. It's called wild dogwood. Have you heard of it before?
No.
Wild dogwood makes the nicest branches at Christmas time. And a lot of us have it on our property. It's indigenous to Jersey. It doesn't look like a dogwood tree. It's like a bush. But it's called a wild dogwood. It makes a flower in the summertime that looks like a white dogwood flower. So I looked. I said, what the heck is that? So I cut it, and I put that in my pots. I had beautiful mixed greenery. And then I put that, and that is beautiful. And if you go to your garden center or any place that sells anything floral, ask for wild dogwood branches. Put them in the middle of your pots. They're absolutely beautiful. Let's talk about your next item on the list is candles in every window. What do you like to do with candles? Do you like battery-operated candles or plug-in candles?
Plug-in candles, and I have, you know, the same routine every year for how to plug them in. So you're just flipping a switch in every room as you go in because there's, you know.
So what do? You put them on timers?
Actually, we've not put them on timers.
Well, then you're really good. How do you have it arranged that you have them all go on at once? That's great.
Well, you walk from room to room,
right.
Switching the switch right. For each.
When I was building my last house, which this is the only house I lived in now that someone else had built and I adapted to, we actually, because we do every year at Christmas, we have a candle in every window. We designed the outlets to be one under each window.
That's
in the front
really
of the house
idea.
So that there would just be easy and you wouldn't have wires all of it. But I don't have that now. For the past 11 years, I'm looking for wires and so on. So when I got to this house, which didn't have necessarily an outlet under each window, I tried the battery-operated candles. But for me, it didn't give you the same amount of light. It wasn't as successful. I would say to my listeners out there, try the battery up because it's easier. They're portable and they're easy to work with. But I had to have the plug-in candles.
Well, to that point, we actually always get 15-watt bulbs. I think 7-watt bulbs is about the standard for most
lights. So you get a brighter bulb.
Exactly.
Wow.
It makes it more bright.
No, that's actually a good idea. The other thing that I could tell our listeners if they want to change it up a little bit is often at Christmas time, they will come out with paper shades, and you can use them both for your chandelier and for your candles, your plug-in or battery-operated candles. So if you have a light, you can sort of diffuse the light down with a softness. So maybe that will have a motif of poinsettias or something. And that's also a very pretty look to do in a window and something a little bit different
that you can try
as well. Look at your craft stores. I mean, they're coming out with wonderful things. And this year in particular, I'm decorating the Murray Hill Inn in New Providence, New Jersey, and I couldn't find white branches that they had. So I went over to, there was a garden center on the corner, and it just opened. It had the most beautiful things I had ever seen. It's called Sheppy's. It's kind of a funny name. It's on Central Avenue in New Providence. So if you're in the area or feel like taking a trip, beautiful, beautiful ideas for Christmas. And we'll talk about that later in the broadcast. But it's, you know, it's a time of year that you really want to try different stuff. You want to think, and you know what? I find, and Jane, you've been in your house a long time. I find that the Christmas comes around faster and faster the older that we get. And I find sometimes I want to take what I have, but let's just change it up a little bit just to make it look different because we're always bringing out the same stuff. So maybe this year, throw something different in. Sometimes I do things like one year I saw something I was inspired that had a lot of blue in it. I said, well, blue is not really normally on a Christmas tree. So I took my same Christmas with the tree, my main tree with the white lights, and then I bought two dozen sort of a cobalt glassy looking blue bowl and just threw it in with it and changed it up a little bit and changed some of the presents that incorporate some of the blue and some gold with the reds and the other colors I had. It was so pretty, and I did that for a couple of years, and then I said, no, I'm tired of that. I did something else. So you could keep your core forever, but change it up through the years. It's nice. The pictures will look different through the years. You'll be able to say, oh, that was a year that we did that. So that's a good idea as well. Okay, number three on Jane's list of Christmas crafting ideas is about wreaths. So why don't you read that or talk to us about that?
Well, traditionally, we've always had a wreath on our front door, which we try to get up as soon after Thanksgiving as we can.
Uh-huh.
But then we also do a huge wreath on our front window.
You have a picture window?
Not a picture window, again, because we have a Victorian home, but it's a larger window.
Right.
Sort of an interesting idiosyncrasy about our house.
Mm-hmm.
Every room has different size windows.
Wow.
So you've got, you know, a big 40-inch window in the front, but
right.
The two side windows are, I guess, about 28 inches.
But that's actually kind of denotes a Victorian, probably, right?
I think so, too.
Yeah.
I mean, many of the other rooms have 19-inch windows.
Wow. So you do a big wreath on the one window. Now, is that wreath something that's lit or not lit? Or,
you know, we historically have not lit them. We buy fresh wreaths every
right.
year and change them up really with the bows.
So is there a type of wreath that you like to use? Is there a certain type of pine, or is there something that in particular you look for? Or you just look to see what's out there, what looks the best or fresh that year?
Pretty much the best or fresh. I mean, I think traditionally we've gotten, you know, Fraser firs or Douglas firs.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, and this is sad, I can identify what I like, but you probably would do a better job of saying, well, this is a Douglas fir, this is a Fraser fir. Do you want for a wreath, do harder bristle pine last longer? I mean, I've seen some pines that are very soft, and I wonder if it's a warm Christmas season, do the needles fall out as opposed to, I mean, I guess they're outside, so it's not as big of a deal, but I wonder if some are firmer than others.
Well, I think that white pine roping can be kind of delicate.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, as we were starting to look for some of our outside Christmas decorations, we did go to one spot, and I thought, oh my gosh, this looks brown already.
Already,
I mean,
yeah.
I think it's because of the drought.
But also, Jane, I wonder when they actually cut the pine. I think they cut the pine a long time before it shows up in stores. Now, I don't know that, but I would think they do.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, they
maybe
have
it was
to.
Old, right? Maybe it was old pine.
Could
depending
be.
Where you go.
Well, you know, another trick that I have, wilt-proof, which
uh-huh.
you generally would buy when you're transplanting in the
could
summer.
Say that again for our listeners?
It's called Wiltproof.
W-I-L-T?
Yeah.
Okay, I've never heard of that before.
It's in any garden center, and I spray that on our ornamental cabbage because you're looking, unless it freezes early on
yeah.
and then sort of the cabbage goes into suspended animation,
right.
if you have drought conditions and it's warm, like it actually is now,
right.
They can be very stressed and
right.
the leaves can wilt.
You know, that's a great idea. I'm going to go get it at the garden gate when I leave here. Okay, so the next thing on Jane's list is we're talking about decorating. We're talking about roping, but I want to bring something up about both roping, pine roping, and wreaths that I've found that I've come to love. It's a lot more expensive, but I did it one year and I thought, oh my god, I love this. I like to incorporate different types of pine in both my roping and in my wreaths. Even before I actually have put less ornamentation on my wreaths because I like to display the different types of pine. And one year I just accidentally found a wreath that was so gorgeous. It was so much more expensive, plain, undecorated, so much more expensive than the big box choice, but I had to buy it because it incorporated juniper berries in it and all different types of pine and blue spruce. And it was just so beautiful that I hung it with a beautiful ribbon. And that's it, because the different types of pine were so beautiful. The pine roping was so expensive that was mixed. I couldn't do it. I had to just go with what, and you know, you cover it with a lot of stuff too. But have you ever seen when they do the mixed, when they do a really nice variegated or mixed fresh greens. It's just absolutely beautiful.
That's probably my favorite kind of wreath. I love juniper berries, too.
Aren't they beautiful?
They really are.
Yeah. I'd like to even put them out. You know, people, you can always, if you have greens on your property, work with what you have. Mm-hmm. My neighbor, Lisa Winter, she's going to kill me. I always say her name. Lisa Winter, who's a wonderful realtor for Turpin, has a great garden. She's a real master gardener. And she has a magnolia tree in her yard. And every year she'll give me two big pieces of magnolia leaves to put in my pots at my entrance, because you could do all the greens, but then you put a piece of magnolia in. Oh, my God, it's amazing at Christmas time. So mixing your greens, for the listeners out there, is a very good thing to do. It really makes it visually interesting and so on. Is there anything else you want to talk about outside before? We're going to take some commercial messages and we'll come back. Other things about before we go to commercial break about outside?
I think we're set.
Okay, great. We're going to take a couple of commercial messages and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design here on Hunterdon Chamber Radio.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
I'm Frank Peluso, Frank Peluso Photography, and I belong to the Chamber because it works.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with more of Modern Design. My name is Richard Scuderi. Our program airs live each Wednesday here in studio in Flemington from 10 to 11. And my guest today is lovely Jane DeHaven, and we're talking about Christmas crafting and wonderful ideas that you can do. So I think, Jane, we did a pretty good job about talking about some natural elements outside. We also could get into lights and so on. Maybe we'll do that before we transition to inside, because we have so much here. In fact, I'm gonna bypass the news today so we can cover. You did a great job. Jane has a library background, so she did a great job of giving me a lot of content today. So we're gonna bypass the news and work straight through that. I think there's a lot of good stuff here. What about lights? How do you feel about Christmas lights? And I know how you feel because you're smiling at me right now. How do we feel about Christmas lights?
Lights, I just love lights, any okay. kind of lights. Okay. I mean, we've had a real tree for many, many years. And in the 90s, we always did hundreds of little white lights
and right.
what have you. But then we transitioned. Mm-hmm. Right after 9/11, we wanted to go back to something simpler.
And more traditional.
More traditional. So, right. you know, like we had when we were kids.
Right.
Bigger, multicolored lights and tinsel.
Well, there's a story to that. And I want you to talk about that, because I remember when you did that, I was in the picture by that time. And the problem was, and I remember in 1971 when we were putting the bulbs out, probably on Christmas. I remember, like, Christmas starts, like, now. But back when we were kids, I think, I don't remember decorating until right before Christmas. I think it's, like, the month of December. And now, like, the day after Thanksgiving is – actually, Thanksgiving is Christmas. You know, on Thanksgiving, the night before Thanksgiving, my neighbors had us over, and she has two beautiful young grandchildren that are little girls. And I wanted to get them – when I was growing up, always got foil turkeys, little foil chocolate turkeys, and I went to look for them on the day before Thanksgiving. Everything was Christmas. So to me, Christmas goes earlier and earlier and earlier and longer and longer, don't you think?
It does.
But I digress. So we were doing the lights outside. Maybe it was like 2 or 3 days before Christmas, and those big bulbs, those big colored bulbs. you couldn't touch them for more than a second. I don't know how we didn't burn down the house back then.
Exactly. Right? I mean, that's why way back when my parents ended up going with an artificial tree because right. my father was just, you know, he thought for sure the house would burn down.
Right, but they got so hot. I don't know if the outside was worse than, because there were definitely, now I put lights wherever, but there was outside bulbs, do you remember, and inside bulbs, and they were different. They both had that big look, like a big bulb with color. But I remember how hot that they got and how quickly they got hot. You didn't even leave them on too long. Mm-hmm. When you went to look at those again after 9/11, had they been reinvented and where did you find them?
Absolutely. They had been reinvented. I mean, it wasn't to the point that if you plug them in for a second and pick them up, you would have third-degree burns.
Right.
So the lights that they're manufacturing today are much, much safer than right. the old ones.
Let's talk about spotlights. One of the things I have to say about my dad, he did a very good job. He built a beautiful five-bedroom, all-brick Georgian colonial, and he was very true to... In fact, my dad was kind of a crafter. He was a contractor, but he really could see something and duplicate it. So he would never buy a wreath that was done. He would go to the woods across the street from our house. He would make a ring, and then he would take different types of pine, and he would make the wreath himself from scratch. And then he'd put a very simple red velvet ribbon. Of course, this was the 70s. Red velvet ribbon on it, just a ribbon with nothing else. Hang it from the ribbon, and then he would have a candle in each window and just a spotlight on the front door. And let me tell you something. I don't think anybody did anything better than that. It was so classy and so simple. In the early days, because we were kids, he put out the colored lights for us because that's what people did. But then as we got a little bit older, he did away with the colored lights. And he just had the spotlight on the door with a beautiful, simple wreath and a candle in every window. And I just thought it was so elegant. To me, the biggest thing about holiday decorating is people overdo and they ruin the look of it. Don't you think?
Yeah, that does happen.
Uh-huh. You're being kind. So in the house that I lived at before the house I live in now, there was a kind of a funny story. It was sad at the time, but a funny story. We moved into a new neighborhood, more in the country, in rural Huntington County, and had moved into this house. The closed in March. Everything was fine. And I was hosting Thanksgiving. We don't do Thanksgiving anymore, but every year we did Thanksgiving. So the house was on a hill, and it was a little bit high up. So as we're having a wonderful dinner, the table's beautiful, everything's great. I'm noticing behind me where the dining room was in the front of the house, and I'm noticing this glow as we're serving dessert. I'm thinking, what the heck is that? I look out, and my neighbors down the hill have 5 acres of blinking, colored, unmatched, horrible, frightening, thrown all over the place lights with blow-up Santa Clauses and plastic. And they started it on Thanksgiving night, and it went straight through on all the time until New Year's Day. I was ready to move right then and there. It was so bad, they would call it the Griswold. And what they would do is, the people have since moved, otherwise they'd be suing me right now, the people would collect, the village that I live in, collected to pay their utility bill because it was supposed to be the Christmas house. But it was so awful and so no rhyme or reason and just junk thrown out there and blow up Santas and plastic. It was just terrible. What do you think of that?
Well, not a fan of blinking lights. Uh-huh. Definitely a fan of understated elegance.
Right.
I mean, I think that spotlights are beautiful.
Beautiful, right?
And that's what we do as well. I mean, we've got a spotlight basically on our front living room wreath as well as the front door.
Uh-huh.
And it just, you know, it says it. It's Christmas.
You know, I always strive, Jane, to find things that are new. And I think it's part of my job as a designer to always be looking for the next thing, because people are paying you for your expertise, so you want to keep refreshing it. And I love to be challenged, and I like to find things that I would never know, like some of the things you brought up, like the wilt and stuff today. That makes me better at what I do, so I always appreciate that. But I was driving home the other day, and one of my neighbors along the other side of town did something that was kind of interesting that I never saw before. And I was told a restaurant did this one thing. It was sort of a pretty thing to do. Instead of lighting up the house, they used soft spotlights, and they lit up trees going up their driveway. And the spots were soft-colored spots. And that sounds a little hokey, but the spots were alternated red and green. And they didn't light up the house. They lit up trees. It was beautiful. It sounds kind of tacky. It wasn't. It was very elegant. Have you ever seen trees lit?
You know what? Not with spotlights. That's a really good point. I have seen trees wrapped in small white lights. And
right.
I think when that's done well,
it's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
Right. But seeing a tree, which is now bare branches. I don't mean pine trees. I mean trees that are bare branches. And it's lit with a soft light from underneath at night. Really beautiful and a great other thing to look. So spotlights, I'm a big fan of spotlights. I like white spotlights. I do like white lights for outside. I'm going to try something this year, and I'll see. I'm getting my keys today. I'm very excited for my Maven Hill 3, our third store in Maplewood, New Jersey. I'm meeting them later. But do you know the lights that are out there? Sometimes they call them Italian outdoor lights. They're sort of black lights. You know, not black lights. They're a black stem, if you will, or wires. And then the lights are sort of rounded, and they're sort of clear, more like a filament. You can see the filament in the bulb. It's like a clear bulb. I think I may do that, try that as a light on. There's wonderful spruces I have. Try that as something different on the space. Another thing I like in lights, I tend to like less is more and very simple. But if you are going to look do lights outside, I do like a clear light or a white light. I'm not a big fan of the LED lights that have that blue tone to them.
There's just something about that color scheme. I guess it's the, you know, LED wavelengths. But, yeah, I like the traditional
right.
lights myself.
And the biggest mistake of all, I mean, you can get away with doing those new LED blue lights if you have an ensemble with silvers and then carry the blue inside, and then you could make that work. But the thing that people do that I think it looks terrible and they don't realize is it, they'll mix the incandescent white lights with the LED blue lights, and that looks terrible. For me, I wouldn't do the blue lights because I think they're too cool, but I have seen them done where somebody uses blue as their palette and do all blue, and they do silvers, and the tree has that, and then that could be pretty also, but you don't want to mix them. They're pretty mm-hmm. terrible. Lights have come a long way, and I see a lot of different shapes. Do you ever, when you go to the store, do you notice that lights are different shapes now, too? They have, even the mini lights, I see them in different shapes.
Huh. Well, you know what? You're right. I've seen the tiny bubble mini lights.
Right.
And thought that would be great to
right.
use on a small tabletop tree.
Exactly. Did you grow up? See, that was probably before our time a little bit. People talk about the bubble lights. Like, I had a friend that found them in the grandmother's attic in Ohio and brought them and put them up. But other than that, I don't remember growing up with those bubble lights. Do you?
No, not really. I mean, are you talking like table tennis size ball lights?
No, they looked like a saucer, and then they had a candle that came out and they bubbled up. You know what I'm talking about?
You know what? I do know one friend who has those.
Yeah.
And that's their family tradition. They have a few.
Now, is that something that was reinvented, or is that something that was their original lights? I think they were a very big fire hazard. There probably was oil in them. You know, it's not probably like a good combination. But they grew up in Ohio with the bubble lights. It was a big deal. And I had only seen that in the 80s when he showed it to me.
Interesting.
Yeah. Here's one more thing about lights, and then we're definitely going to transition. We have so much contact here. We'll take a quick commercial, and we'll come back. Content here is that using colored lights, but using solid color lights. I love that. I do not like mixed color lights. I don't like them outside because I don't like the look that they give. I think they're distracting to the eye. And I don't like them on the tree because I think, for me personally, mini colored lights, because there's so many of them, if you have very beautiful ornaments that you've worked on, they could look nice on a tree. Not the big ones. The big ones are good because there's less of them. But when you have many colored lights and there's tons of them on the tree and then you put ornaments, I think they compete with each other. So from one of my trees in my house, I have all antique Santas, which I've collected through the years, and they're expensive, and every year I do it. So I try to keep the lights just simple white because then you see the ornaments more. If you're just putting some ornaments on, I even saw one of my neighbors did a tree last year. They used solid red lights on a green tree, a beautiful tree. No ornaments. They had a beautiful bow on top, great presents underneath. The red lights made that tree. It was gorgeous. They had it in the window. I think if they had great ornaments, you wouldn't really see the ornaments because you've added the element of color. But boy, that red against the green, it was so powerful. And doesn't sound pretty, but extremely pretty.
So much. I can picture that. That sounds great.
Gorgeous.
I mean, less is more.
You know, their presents were wrapped with tartan ribbon, and it was silver and red. It was so striking. It was beautiful. But one of the things that I've tried to do is, because I do Christmas decorating, is try one color solid lights. So red is my favorite. If you're not going to do white, red is a fantastic thing to go with. But don't mix it with other colors. Just do the red then and go with that, because the eye, when you're coming from a distance, sort of captures that. If you diffuse it by putting lots of different colors, it loses that somehow, unless you do a bigger bulb. So that's beautiful. But green, I have a small library room in my house. that's all browns. So brown and green pair beautifully together. And I think in the spring you're going to see that with the new woodland decorating. That's going to be – grays are going to continue because they're a natural color, but you're going to see green and brown come back. A natural green and brown as a new trend. Watch. I'm starting to see it already in some of the stuff. But I use green. I got a couple of sets of green lights, and you don't have to spend a lot of money. They sell them in Lowe's right here in Flemington. Get the green mini lights, and then I wrap my garland over my fireplace in my library with just green. And then I decorate with green and gold in that room, just a bowl of some base of some pine, a bowl of Christmas balls that are green and gold, and that mantelpiece with the green. And the impact of going with a solid color lights is great. And that holds true for outside. If you do that, you know, be smart. Stand back and look at what you've done. Sometimes people just throw things up because they can. All right, well, we're going to take a commercial message, and we'll be back, and we'll start with working on inside, wonderful ideas that we can do right here on Modern Design after these messages.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with another edition, a live edition of Modern Design. I have Jane DeHaven, a local resident, in studio with me, and we're talking about Christmas decorating. Jane, I thought of one more thing that I have to say before we transition to inside, and we have so much to cover. I'm going to have you lead on that. Is wreaths on each window. I really like the look of wreaths on each window of a house. It's a kind of a painstaking thing to do, and then the worst part is taking it down. Of course, in January, we have to get on the ladder. But doing wreaths on every window, I think, is such a nice look with a candle in every window.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely. And then one last thing, because Jane did some research for me. I have a colonial home, so one of the things that I like to do is some of the colonial Christmas decorating. In fact, Jane was generous enough. She brought some of her vintage colonial home Christmas decorating magazines, and I don't think she's getting them back, actually, because they're beautiful. And as I'm sitting here on the commercial breaks looking through them, I'm thinking, oh, my God, we're going to be back on the air live, and I'm looking at some of the great pictures. I don't know why, but the colonial the whole colonial look and Christmas go very well together, don't they? Mm-hmm. I've never been to Colonial Williamsburg, but I heard they do a gorgeous job down there. Have you ever been there? I've never been there.
Not during Christmas.
And I hear they do a wonderful job of doing decorating down there. I'm devoting the entire month of December to Christmas decorating, and all our shows in December until the new year will all be about Christmas decorating and so on. But anyway, so Jane has brought some wonderful magazines. And, you know, we are going to be, now I'm hearing today, it's going to be before the end of the year, January, we kick off Modern Design in January. We're going to be in our new studios, and we are going to have some video cameras, so you're going to be able to see these things the next time we meet, which means Jane and I are not going to eat again, ever. Well, I won't eat again. She doesn't have to worry about that. But having said that, the thing that I couldn't remember when we spoke on Sunday to talk about was, in a colonial home, sometimes over the front door, you will have this sort of, not only a wreath on the door. Here's what I do. a wreath on the front door decorated, and I use a fruit motif, which is very popular for colonial decorating, oranges, apples, lemons, and so on, and lemon leaves on greens. So that's my front door. I also incorporate that in a swag that goes up and around the door. I have a candle on each in each window, and above it I have a wreath that matches that. I don't do any lights on the front of my house at all. That's it. And then a spotlight to spotlight the front door. But over the entrance, I do like a colonial something or other, and I couldn't remember the name of it. And what it does, it has a pineapple in the center, then mixed fruit, and then on the top of the on the bottom, it has lemon leaves, and then behind it, it's done with greens. The first year I did it live, it was a warm December, and in 3 days all the fruit juices ran. So that's it. I bought everything artificial, and I did that, and I've had that for 11 years, and that works for me because it's far enough away from the house that you can't tell whether it's, you just see sort of the semblance of color in a distance, and it's quite beautiful. Jane, what is that thing called?
That is called a fan light.
A fan light, and that is the sort of, I guess, would you call it a garland? No, it's not really a garland. It's sort of a piece that goes over a door, and it just looks quite nice, and it ties everything together. All right, so I think we've done that to nauseam. So let's transition now to the inside of the house, and I'm going to let you lead on some of the things that you do inside. Why don't we start with talking about the tree?
Well, for 20 years, we did a real tree, and it just got to be an awful lot. I mean, over that time period, more than three times we had the tree completely fall down. I
oh,
mean,
no.
When you're looking at, you know, a 9-foot tree
right.
with a heavy stem
right.
and then you're putting ornaments on it, trees are not, you know, perfectly straight by nature.
Sure.
So it was a disaster. I mean, there was one year mm-hmm. that we actually partially disassembled a small rock wall that we had in our backyard
yeah.
just to stabilize
the tree
base.
Yeah.
So about 2 years ago, we transitioned to an artificial tree, which it has its, you know, good points and bad points. I mean, you're not worrying about having to water the tree.
Right.
You can keep it up longer and not worry about it from that perspective. The
sure.
fire hazard.
Goes
but
away.
I do miss the scent of the tree. So we use a lot of greens. We've got mixed greens on the mantle. We've got two mantles that we do that for.
Right.
And, to tell you the truth, most of our friends and visitors don't even realize that we've transitioned to an artificial tree because it looks so much like.
Yeah, they've really. I think they've really done a good job with making the trees look much natural looking. One of the things that you and I had talked about earlier was the fact that, do you ever see old movies? And this is for my listeners as well. Old movies show Christmas trees, and I don't know when they transition to better looking or fuller trees. I'm talking about trees in general. I mean, live trees as well as artificial trees. But trees in the early days, Jane, what did they look like? Did you see like movies from like the 40s and stuff?
You look at them and you feel like, oh my goodness, you know, these branches are a foot apart from each
right.
other. Very sparse.
Like every tree was a Charlie Brown tree. Like they went out and they said, okay, take that twig and we'll put it and we'll put a 3-4 balls on it. Every tree looked like that. And then it was like a natural tree. And it had like a crisscross flat bottom, and like it was like a twig. And I don't know when they changed. Probably the 60s, and they started manufacturing. They did a lot of manufacturing in the United States, so they probably brought more artificial trees in the trees. You know, the look changed. But I love to watch old movies because they show the tree, and it's like, well, the one thing I love is tinsel. And I know you went back to tinsel. And now tinsel is a thing. I mean, tinsel is painstaking, but when it's done, it's like ice that's shimmering on a tree. And there's nothing better than tinsel, I guess, unless you have a cat, right? But tinsel, I absolutely, absolutely love. But the old trees, if you look at old movies like the 40s or even, I guess, the 40s, and you look at them, they're like a twig with tinsel and a couple of Christmas balls with a crisscross, and it looks like from Hunger, right? Even if it was supposed to be a nice house. So I don't know how that got to be the more modern tree that's so much fuller. I don't know how that transitioned. But also with artificial trees, that's changed a lot through the years. And some of the vintage trees I saw, you know, because this is my trade and I do seasonal decorating, I'm buying the stuff that I need for my season in August. So when I'm wearing shorts and stuff, I'm going to all these resources that I go to, and I'm looking what's new for the season. And what I saw this year is a lot of vintage trees, artificial trees, that is, that are in silver, trees that are done in silver, in gold, and they're sort of like garlands that are like a tree, and metal trees, and all the stuff from a long time ago that are people. Now, that's not going to be the mainstream. That's never going to be the mainstream, but bringing them back. A couple of years ago, I had an aunt who hosted Christmas every year, and she was really like she was like Auntie Mame. She was a class act, did everything perfect. She did sit down for 24 people. Every person she wrote their handwritten their name and script in front of their placemat. She did courses. It was every dish that came out was beautiful. She was just as good as it gets. And she did it well into her life. She lived into her 90s, and she continued to do it year after year, where it was almost too much for her, and she would, you know, host this big sit-down dinner on Christmas Day for all these people. Well, at one point, I think her daughter got married, and they bought a house, and she had this fantastic 12-foot tree. So the daughter had a new house with a cathedral ceiling, and she said, "No, I want you to have the house. You have young kids." So she replaced her green artificial tree, which went to the ceiling, with a white, a smaller, but still tall, a smaller white tree, and she did the white tree in all silver and gold ornaments, and it was she was always ahead of her time. It was fantastic. So the past couple of years, I've always added a white tree to the mix. Now, in the beginning, I think people said to me, "I don't know about a white tree," but the one thing about a white tree that's nice, especially if you have more than one tree in the house, about a white tree is you really see the ornaments when you do a white tree. So that's something different. And something that you might want to try if you want to break it up a little bit. Maybe, you know, you go out and you buy a white tree. They're not that expensive. And you just do your ornaments on a different tree. Something that you can try as well. So I only did a real tree once. I hear a lot of people say, preface that. And I remember in April vacuuming up needles. It was the first year I moved out from, I graduated college, I got my own apartment. I said, I'm getting a real tree. I thought, this is why people don't get a real tree. Also, and you would be more well-versed on this than I am, if you get a real tree, how soon do you buy it? Where do you keep it until you put it in? And what's the shelf life of a tree when you get a real tree?
Good question. When we were getting real trees, probably did not get them until around December 15th.
Okay.
And also, a trick that we learned, there's a product called Prolong.
Okay.
It's a preservative, greens preserve. You can use it for cut flowers as well.
Okay.
But I would lay in a supply so that you would add this to the water when you were watering your tree.
Right.
Twice a day. And
wow.
That would help keep the tree green for a long time.
When I think of a tree stand, I think of those old-fashioned, which they still sell today, those old-fashioned green and red metal ones. I don't remember them holding water. Do you need a different kind of tree stand for a live tree?
We've gotten a tree stand with, actually, the last many years that we've gotten the real trees, we would get a tree with a spike. Basically, the nursery that you would buy the tree from
right.
would drill a hole in the bottom of the tree stand, and then you would
to accept water.
Put the whole thing. Well, not to accept water. This is basically to keep the tree
stable,
standing upright.
Oh, I understand.
And that then would be in a giant pail of water. I mean, I think that the tree stand that we have probably could hold at least a gallon of water.
Oh, that much water! Wow, wow. Then what did my tree do?
Well,
I dried it out.
The decorative ones. Again, I don't know how houses didn't burn down in the day because
right.
they really did not hold much water. I can only think that people just didn't leave their trees up as long as folks do today.
Well, that's a good segue to your number two on your list of inside ideas, because you're talking about Victorian-inspired trees. And this is more of your story, so I should let you tell. Tell people how in the Victorian era how they decorated the Christmas trees. What did they do? That was so dangerous.
They put real candles on it. I mean, you look at some of the old movies, the Walton's Christmas, for example.
Right. Where did they do that then?
They had the lights on this enormous tree. You wonder how the two widow bootlegger ladies
right.
were able to decorate it themselves.
What were they called, the girls, the Bulbin sisters?
Yes.
I love them. I want to go to their house for a Christmas party. You know their eggnog was like really good, right? But anyway, so in the Walton's episode, which was in the 70s, but I think it was supposed to be, originally when the series started, was the 40s in Virginia, in the Blue Ridge Mountains?
During the Depression,
okay.
So
okay.
Early
30s. 30s, okay. And it was with candles?
With real candles.
My
I
God.
Mean, beautiful, but again, yikes.
Oh, my goodness. So we're talking about number two on your list of inside ideas, and you're talking about, why don't you talk about what you're talking about?
Well, we started out Victorian house, Victorian-themed Christmas tree. So basically billions of little tiny white lights, red tartan bows, and also at that point we did cranberry, not real cranberries, wooden cranberry sprays,
right,
along with little white pearl sprays.
Right.
So I would scallop them along the entire tree.
Really purist. That's great. That sounds beautiful.
There you go. I mean, that would be sort of the bedrock, and then you'd put the ornaments.
I'm going to tell you a little secret. I'll give you a little kudos in the same thing. So during the holidays, we like to have people over, and, you know, Jane and Kevin are family, so we always do something, whether it be whatever, sometimes to visit over the holidays. And Jane always brings a wonderful bottle, a gift. And she wraps it, as much as I love the gift, she wraps it in the best tartan paper I've ever seen with a gorgeous bow. And what I do is I take the gift out and I save it wrapped. It looks so good, I put it out, because the tartan, that classic tartan with the great bow, and you just do it that it's like hospital corners. I have saved, I think I have like six of your Christmas gift boxes wrapped, because it looks so nice. And you know, tartan's back, and the millennials, my classic design is a little bit more transitional. It's in the middle. I'm a traditionalist in my own home because it's of the period. But in general, I have a good range, I think. But my Maplewood store is going to be a little bit more contemporary. But even with the millennials, they like the mix of tartan plaid with the new modern, like, metallics. So if you take something like tartan and then you put it with mercury glass, the combination is kind of beautiful. You can use birch branches and mercury glass and then tartan, and the combination, the contrast, is quite beautiful.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
And Don Draper at Christmas, mid-century modern.
Okay. Yeah, no, I love the look. I think it's terrific. So you did a Victorian tree. So let's talk about some of your experiences again, you said in 9/11 about going back and changing your tree.
That was just a tough year for a lot of people.
Oh, sure.
And we just really wanted to get back to basics. I mean, the kind of tree like we had when we were kids in the early 60s. So we went out and we got, you know, the multicolored lights.
Where did you find them?
Actually, at that point, there was a little hardware store right in town that unfortunately is no longer there.
Yeah, welcome to 2016.
Yeah. Yeah.
You found
them, and actually got an awful lot of backup lights. They don't apparently sell yellow light bulbs anymore.
Really? Yellow?
Yeah, it's like it's more of an orangey color. So I'm hoarding my yellow light bulbs.
On your list. I mean, on your spray of colors that you have on that wire. What colors are there? Obviously, there's probably red.
Red, green, blue, and yellow.
Just the four colors.
Actually, white. There's white as well.
I saw white. Mm-hmm. So, neat. Absolutely. You know, I notice I consider this, I'm pointing to my camera because we're not on video yet. I call this my phone. I mean, my phone. I call this my camera because
yes.
I'm a blogger. I do a blog. For those of you that listen and follow me on social media, I do a blog called The Color Guru at blogspot.com. And each week, in conjunction with the episode I'm going to do of Modern Design, I blog on stuff. So what I do is I'm just sort of somebody that observes all the time, because I think you get better if you observe than talking, pontificating. I'd rather listen and absorb stuff. So I was in the mall the other day picking something up, and I think I was outside of the store, maybe Hollister, one of the younger people stores, and they had their Christmas decorations done, and they did the old-fashioned lights like you have, but all the bulbs were white. That was pretty, too.
That's a great idea, too.
Yeah, now that's something that I would have never thought of. It really looked beautiful, the bigger bulbs. And I liked that a lot. I might want to try that somewhere. That was a wonderful idea. So number four on your list is talking about decorating mantles. Why don't you talk a little bit about that? And I have a lot that I want to say about garlands and mantles.
Well, we have a fireplace in the living room and a wood-burning stove with a mantle in the kitchen. So both mantles, we do vases with mixed greens.
Okay.
So that, too, it's like just go out, see what looks great.
So you're putting the vases that are there all year long, or are you putting vases just for Christmas?
Good question. In the kitchen, the vases are there all year long. In the living room, we have different vases.
Okay.
Because the all-year-round vases don't have enough room for
the amount of greens.
Yeah.
So you stuff them with greens. Do you pick the greens or do you buy the greens?
We used to actually
take some branches from trees on my mother-in-law's property, but she's since moved, so we mainly get them from, you know, local nurseries.
Oh, nice. Wonderful. All right, I'm going to, because unfortunately, Jane, we only have 5 minutes left, I'm going to go on to your third category, which is special decor and ornaments. So why don't you share some of your ideas with us?
Well, we have a few sentimental items that come out every single year. One is an angel that my parents used as a tree topper.
I love that. We had an angel as a tree topper. And I think after my mom passed away, I don't care how bad it got looking, oh, I'm putting that up. And did it for many, many years. I think like the angel's eyelashes were off on one side and the cotton hair was gone and he did look Rogaine. It was terrible. But the tree would be gorgeous, but that little deformed angel went on every year. There is a sentimentality to Christmas ornaments, I think, more than other things.
Luckily, this angel is pretty well preserved. Right. But again, it's like the, you know, you've got the hair and
the cotton hair. And the,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's really a neat accordion pleat gold skirt that the and a wax head.
See, so. I think your family, your parents probably bought a very expensive. I think ours was like the store Two Guys in the 70s. I think that's where we got our ornament, our angel from. But you know what? That's what it is. What is it about Christmas ornaments and sentimentality? That there's something to that that is tied in more than any other thing I think can think of.
I think so too. I mean, it's your connection with your family, with your past, and with your future too.
I have a friend of mine that every time. It's called the Christmas cry. And every year when the box opens, there's always that little sadness and that little couple of tears. And then they go on because there's something with that that's profoundly beautiful, but also profoundly sad at the same time, I think, with Christmas ornaments. So besides your angel, what else do you have that's a keepsake for you that you put everywhere?
We have an Irish Santa. It's a little porcelain figurine
that
if you wind it up, it actually twirls around and plays Christmas in Killarney.
Right.
So
right.
Everyone in the family.
Do you know I have that too?
I thought you did.
I love it. I do it over and over and over again. It's such a pretty Santa too. But, you know, those things are special to you, and you look forward to getting them out every year. And those you want to do all the time. Do you find that those keepsakes you really wrap well? Because I always worried about, oh, my God, how could you replace something that Nana gave you in 1973? You can't.
Exactly. I mean, the angel basically lives in our china cabinet.
Oh, so you don't even wrap it and put it away. You keep...
Oh, it's wrapped and put away. But
oh, but it's in the bottom, and it's
in a
separate.
A box, yes.
So it's not on top of other things,
no.
Like most people do, and you keep those things safe. What about other special decor?
We have a little tiny fence, which looks like it must have been made out of popsicle sticks in the 30s, that we'll put around the bottom of our tree.
Right.
We've got a handmade sled that my husband and his brother
made.
And
love
that comes
it.
Out every year.
Love it. You can't beat that. Okay, and our two remaining minutes, I'm going to go to Jane's last category, which is decorating for the holidays. It doesn't have to be scripted. These are her words, beautiful words, not mine. It does not have to be scripted or store-bought. Think outside of the box. So let's talk about a couple of things that you do.
Well, it's a Rich had mentioned with the colonial Williamsburg sort
right.
of theme. Citrus fruit. I mean, oranges, lemons, limes, stuff
right.
them with cloves. I
right.
mean, they just look beautiful.
You know, I haven't done that before. We talked about that the other day. My neighbor does that every year. And every year she says, Rich, you should do that. Because my family room is sort of a persimmon orangey kind of a color. And she goes, you know what you should do? Get a bowl. Glass ball, put greens on the bottom, and then get a clementine. She had suggested clementines, smaller, more, you know, be prettier too because they're smaller. You could do more of them. She says, get clementines, and in the clementines, you take, and I haven't done this, so maybe you have, so I'm explaining it to the listeners better. She says, take cloves, and then, but do the cloves in a pattern, do like a crisscross so mm-hmm. they're pretty, and then put them in the top of the greens in the bowl, and the scent is supposed to be out of this world. So I bought the clementine, so I'm going to try that this year. Have you done that or no?
No, not with clementines.
But I also think fruit in general is very, I don't know why, maybe it's a colonial thing, but you take any sort of fruit, lemons, beautiful waxed red apples or Granny Smith green apples, limes, and beautiful clementines and oranges. In conjunction with greens, look very Christmassy to me. And that's what my outside decorating in a colonial home, which is pale yellow with white and black, it just seems to fit together well for at least my house. I like that look. So I think you're right. I don't think you have to go and buy something. I think you can make something and use things. Now, you also have on this list add magnolia leaves. Do you have magnolia in your yard? Because I was scoping it out to see if I could take some.
No, unfortunately.
But something about adding magnolia leaves. Now, have you ever – the first year I moved into my house, I have three fireplaces, and I wanted to do a magnolia garden. they Magnolia Garland, and I bought it. It was over $100. It's
very expensive. Magnolias just are indigenous to the southern states. That's
right.
Why you see them in Colonial Williamsburg, and it's so difficult, I think, to get them to grow up here.
But what I want to say to my listeners is if you go and you get a Magnolia Garland, I've had that for 11 years. What you do is you can dry that, and it actually looks just as good. You don't want to touch it because it's like powder, especially after 11 years. But I leave it up all year long because it gives me sort of that subtle terracotta-y tone, and underneath it's gold. And I don't ornament it with anything else. It's just a natural element. So sometimes it happens on live radio, folks. We'll just go with that. I do that, and I think that's a great look. And you can just dry it, and it's wonderful. In our last remaining minutes, anything else that you want to talk about? Store-bought, as opposed to homemade.
Clear glass bowls with ornaments in them.
Absolutely.
I usually go with one, you know, all red, all green, shiny brights.
Jane, I thank you so much. We could do this probably every week till the Christmas, and I wish we could. But thank you so much, Jane DeHaven. I appreciate your wonderful ideas. And then I will see you next week, same time, same station. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy the couple of days that are going to be nice. Bye-bye.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
You might call it the ultimate power dinner, even by New York City standards. Here's USA's Joe.